Thank you for listening to Gray Matters Short Takes. Today we are in Colossians chapter 2. In verse 16 it says, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." Now as we read this, we say, well, I guess we're not supposed to be judging people in food or drink. I'm not sure what the new moon is, but Sabbath was what I was most interested in. So are we not observing Sabbaths now? And so why do we come to church? Maybe that's a bad question, but what is Paul trying to say here?
Yeah, it's we find in the early church, just as in the present church, that people are quick to be judgmental. There's some misunderstandings about what that means. You know, we're not to judge one another, and yet we do all the time. Yeah. We're told that as the way that we judge will be the same way that we will be judged.
Right.
And we're even taught that within the church we are supposed to make determination between the brother and the sister that's in sin.
Right.
And but Paul is not talking about just basically looking at someone that we think is sinning and giving judgment. He's talking about the lines, the rules that we draw that make people either in or out.
You're a saint or you're an eight.
Who's right? Yeah. who's right with God?
Yeah.
You know, in Acts chapter 15, the line was drawn is, can males without foreskins or with foreskins, can they be right with God? You know, and so there's the line drawn.
Yeah.
If you got a foreskin, brother, you're out.
Yeah.
But you get circumcised, you're in.
You're in. Yeah.
The church is made up of people who are saved by grace, not of their own doing. They haven't earned it, don't deserve it. And yet, for some reason, we have this great need to draw dividing lines and make rules, because rules are easier for us to enforce and impose than grace.
Right.
So therefore, it's easy for me to say, for instance, when it say, he says, therefore, no, let no one pass judgment on you regards to food or drink, I can sit here and I say, I wish the scripture were very, very clear. Thou shalt not drink alcohol.
Yeah.
I wish, I really do. I wish that were in the book, but it's not. It says not to get drunk, but right. It doesn't say that you can't drink a beer.
Yeah.
And yet, that is the standard for my life. I don't drink alcohol. I don't occasionally. I don't social. I don't. Right. No, I abstain completely from alcohol. And I wish that the whole world were that way, because I don't see a whole lot of good coming out of it.
No, not really at all.
However, if you, my brother in Christ, say to me, yeah, you know, it's hot out there today. I can hardly wait to get home and pop a beer and sit in, by the pool. There's something within me that goes, ooh, red flag, you know. That's what Paul's talking about, is I cannot judge your relationship with God based upon the standards that I believe God has given me. And so he gives a list of those things because they're questions. No one passed judgment on you in questions of food and drink. Big thing there was meat sacrificed to idols.
Right.
You know, is it okay to eat that or not?
Right.
And Paul basically says, I don't care. That's his answer.
If it bothers you, don't do it.
Yeah, and be careful not to cause someone else to stumble.
Right.
You know, I was in great distress years ago when a group of women from the church went out to have a dinner together at a restaurant. And we had several women that decided they were going to order alcoholic beverages. What really bothered me about it wasn't that they did that, but just because it was done, but because part of the women that were there were part of our group that was recovery, Celebrate Recovery.
Okay.
They had struggled with alcoholism. So to me, it was very unloving for me, for a woman to sit right next to a woman who has struggles with alcohol and is new to the faith, and then see someone else just pop open that beer
right
next to her. I felt like that was unloving,
right.
And I expressed that. Much to the joy of everybody.
Oh, I'm sure.
So he's saying, you know, there's questions. And we're not to judge one another whether or not our relationship with God is good or bad, whether we're in with God or out with God, or regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. And it's interesting because there's books now out on the blood moons, and you're supposed to follow these and mm-hmm. do all these festivals, and it's commanded, and you're a heathen if you don't.
Right.
I actually had a gentleman in the church some years ago who came to me and said, you need to preach on Hagee's book on new moons. And I said, well, I've read it, and no, I don't need to preach on it.
Yeah, I read it, and it was interesting, but I'm like, we'll see.
Yeah. In other words, I'm not going to impose that
right.
on people as law,
right?
Because we no longer live by law.
Right.
We live by love, and we just talked about that in the baptism thing. Jesus fulfills that. He goes on, so or new moons or Sabbath. And we can argue. I mean, we can, some of the ones I respect great, and I've spoken in Seventh-day Adventist churches and have brothers and pastors that are friends, and, mm-hmm. and yet they are basically very much telling me, if I don't obey the seven-day Sabbath, that Saturday, that Friday night through Saturday night Sabbath, then that's the mark of the beast. I have the mark of the beast on me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hell, basically. Well, I think Paul's pretty clear here. He doesn't abolish. He doesn't say, hey, we're abolishing the Sabbath. The body needs the Sabbath. The earth needs the Sabbath.
Right.
We ought to take a Sabbath. We ought to take a day of rest and reflection and all those things. But to start picking out which one it is and impose that on everyone and say, this is what it's got to be, that's what Paul is saying. Don't judge one other than that. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism. In other words, how much do you punish yourself?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I know a lady who every Monday, it's supposed to be fast Monday. And she's very disappointed if people don't do that. Maybe more stronger than disappointed. Okay,
gotcha.
Well, I got a problem because, you see, I have a men's breakfast on Monday. I have a luncheon with a group at Bonaventure on Monday. That is not going to be my fast day. It's not that we throw fasting out.
Right.
It's I have to do it according to what God has given me and convinced me of in those things. And the worship of angels. You know, you got the Sadducees who didn't believe in the angels and the Pharisees that did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's saying we should worship angels anyway, I don't think.
No.
So.
Well, we look at Revelation, and when John worshiped the angel, he said, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Exactly. Going on in detail about visions. Now, this is my experience. You know, it has to be true because that's my experience, and therefore it has to be true for you.
Right.
I was saved on a Saturday night at 8:00, and you should be too. You know, I mean, we can just make laws about everything, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, not holding fast to the head. That's Jesus, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we give each other grace and mercy and forgiveness. Right. And we understand that the relationship that you have with God is maybe different than the relationship I have with God.
Say it ain't so.
It is so. And I can relax in that and not impose upon you the standards that we have for ourselves. If we're true Christians, we should have standards. Mm-hmm. These are things I will not do. These are things I must do. Those are good things. But they're usually set before us by God based upon our weaknesses to temptation.
True. Yes, good.
In other words, I struggle with being addicted to things. Well, maybe the best thing you should do is not go into the bar.
Yeah.
I struggle sexually. Maybe the best thing you should do is avoid all things dealing with pornography and sensualism.
Right.
I get all wrapped up in gambling. Maybe the casino is a place you shouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid the very appearance of evil.
Right.
And I think that's what Paul is saying. But if people saw me up at the Gateway Tavern, which is my bar up in Sandy, it's not because I drink. I go because the people there have said, we want you to minister to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody saw my car out in front, maybe they shouldn't judge me.
Maybe.
Yeah. And I think that's what Paul's saying.
Yeah. I think another thing is this, where it says, these things are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. And so we focus on the shadow, but we're like, you know, Christ is casting that shadow. And we're just like, we're on the ground kissing the shadow and say, oh, I love you so much. Yeah. Like Christ is standing. I'm right here. You can, you know, you don't have to worry about the shadow anymore. I'm here. So he's like the fulfillment. He is our Sabbath rest.
Yes.
Although we still need for the physical body that rest.
Yeah. Remember how we used to make shadow puppets?
Yes.
Okay. And the strange thing is, it looks like a dog, but it's not.
It's not.
You see, and the rituals are those laws that we impose on ourselves and others. They're not Christ.
Yeah.
They're just, they can point us to him, mm-hmm. but they're not him. So, yeah, that's exactly. The Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament, exactly. And the fulfillment of Christ.
Fulfillment.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you, Jamie. And thank you for, again, for listening to Gray Matters Short Takes.